You are?
Okay, go ahead.
Wait a minute, I didn't turn my phone yet. Are you going to do the Pledge of Allegiance before, or are we skipping that?
Yes, sure. I'm going to call it to order. I'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you, Louise.
It's 6:06 p.m.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
Of the United States of America. To the Republic.
For what it stands.
One nation.
Under God. Indivisible.
With liberty and justice.
Justice for all.
All right, we're going to go with the roll call now.
Mr. Alberta?
Here.
Mr. Carlone? Carlone, are you muted?
Yeah, he's muted.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm here. Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Gray is out. Ms. Mancini Wright? Mancini Wright? Ms. Orzetti?
He's called us. She says she's not going to be in.
Ms. Patel?
Somebody said she was out of the country. That I don't know, though.
Ms. Bertoso? Thank you, Jen. Mr. Santos?
Present.
And Ms. Simmons?
Present.
Okay, you've got 5 members present. You do not have a quorum.
Yeah, I am going to close the special meeting due to no quorum, and I am going to move to number 6.3, Storms Ambulance Presentation. Do you have anybody from Storms here for a presentation?
If we can, Mr. Mayor, if I can ask just a quick question before we jump into the presentations.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the budget and expenditure revenue, there are some differences on the one we received today that we printed in comparison to the one that we got back in February.
Nancy.
Okay, there are a few changes in there. One of which was a $500 mandate by the state for the town clerk's office for a grant that they give out. So that was changed. But the
Nancy, you said $500?
That was one, which was $500. The second one was the Board of Ed grant. I wasn't aware of the fact that any increases go over as alliance money. So the budget was offset both on expenditures and revenues for that extra money. So it goes directly to the Board of Ed as opposed to coming through the city. It really has no net effect on us. The Board of Ed is still getting the same amount of money. It's just that it goes into their budget directly under a grant, under the Alliance grant.
All right. If you can just bear with me and go back to the town clerks. It shows that it was $1,000 more than the February 28.
There were 2 different changes, 500 and 2 different line items for grants that the state mandated us to change based on our revenue.
That's for the town clerks, correct?
Right.
Okay.
The two grants went up $500 each.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got
and,
it.
And I have also the police department who had a difference that they added $10,000. Was that also a grant? $9,495.
Which line item are you referring to?
3100, police department.
Yeah, but which one in that item?
Well, I went with the proposal.
But which line item out of their budget? They have several.
I know. I was just looking at the final number, Nancy. I wasn't looking at each line, but since you mentioned it, that's why, because some of these agencies already presented, and it's, you know, we getting this right now is difficult for us to look at every line item and then compare it to what's going on so we can make, you know, conscientious decisions.
The line item that was changed, Mr. Chairman, was on educational reimbursement.
What was that again, Walt?
The educational reimbursement line in the original budget was incorrect, and the chief asked that be corrected. I believe he also brought that up in his department meeting with you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I'm recalling the educational reimbursement.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because it was 1,583 proposed. And so that's the difference there. Thank you, Walt, for clarifying that. And then there's one second. Yeah, the working balance, that's where we pulled some of that money from because there's a difference of a negative 3,000 in comparison to the February budget expenditures and revenues.
The working balance is a work in progress. Honestly, as things change and if contracts get settled, that will change and the mayor's budget will change. Until we settle and everything is complete, we don't really know where that work that has contingency in there for several items, including raises and contracts and other issues, capital projects and all things that have not been settled out yet.
Okay. And again, I think you had mentioned about the Board of Education with respect to some grants that they were put in.
Yes.
I came up with a difference of a negative $93,018.
That's exactly what it was. The increase in the grant above and beyond the alliance was that 93. But based on information I received from the Board of Ed, the superintendent of the State of Board of Ed, any increases that we get go directly to them as alliance funds. So the city doesn't even get that into our coffer at all. It goes straight to the Board of Ed into their bank accounts. So I had to take both ends of that out, both the expenditures and the funding coming in.
Okay, so they took out 93,018?
Exactly. I took that out, but they're still getting it, but they're getting it directly from the state of Connecticut. Not from us.
Originally, Mr. Chairman, originally when we got the figures, the 93,000 was on the city side. Then they sent us an amended email and said, move it over. It was coming the other way. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the explanation. Anybody got any questions regarding that new expenditures and revenues that we received on 4/11?
Well, could we get a copy of that email from the state?
I already forwarded that out to you with the last, I give everything to the town clerk and I thought that he had already forwarded that to you. So I'd be more than glad to send that out again.
Yes. And how about Nancy, how about our 5-year comparison?
Our financial system does not do a 5-year system.
It does.
It does not.
It all the time.
It does not.
Is there any way, Nancy, again, with permission of the mayor and or Walt, with respect to having Jennifer stop by your office and see if it can be done or not done?
Absolutely. She's more than welcome to come in anytime she wants.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Anything else, Chairman?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. So we're going to go 6.3, Storms Ambulance. Anybody from Storms here for a presentation?
Yep. So you have Dan Abrams, Daniel, and Brendan Canty on.
Okay. Go ahead.
My video up here and my screen. Please let me know that you can see the presentation.
Yes.
All right. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I thank you for the opportunity to come in front of you and discuss the Storm Ambulance request for the 2023-24 fiscal year budget.
I do apologize for interrupting you. First, I want to say, how are you doing with your surgery?
I think everybody else should.
Roberta, you're muffled.
It's a little echo.
Can folks hear me clearly enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm Dan Abrams. I am the Director of Finance for the Storm Ambulance. Also on the phone, we have Brendan Canty. He is one of our assistant chiefs. Chief Leonard sends his apologies. He wasn't able to attend. Both he and I just had major medical procedures. I had both of my knees replaced. He had a hip done. And so he's a little bit further under the weather than I am. So I drew the straw to be able to present our budget request this year again. So for the fiscal year 23-24, looking for $150,000. I think that was the latest communication that Chief Leonard had provided for our request. Just a little bit of background. I'm going to try to go through the first about 10 slides really quick. I know there's a couple of new members of the committee, so if there's anything that you want me to touch on a little bit in more detail, please stop me and ask any questions. I know the majority of the participants here have seen this presentation in the past. So we're nearing our 75th anniversary. We've got over 100 members from 16 years old to over 75 years old. Members of the Derby community, several of the surrounding towns. We run the gamut from high school students to career firefighters, safety professionals, and we have members that have over 60 years of service. So we have two facilities, the one at 151 Olivia Street. We have our rescue truck that's housed in the fire station at that address. And then next door, we have the small building that houses the ambulance and our operating offices. We also have a facility at 10 Hawkins Street that we've leased or have an agreement with the city to store additional equipment and vehicles. So we provide emergency medical services, BLS transport, medical first response, vehicle extrication, rescue services, technical rescue. We do rope rescue, machinery, trench, confined space. You've got hazardous materials team. We are the Valley division of the New Haven area special hazards team. So the state split up into response districts for hazardous materials about 10 years ago. And we are a subset of the New Haven area team. And so we provide those services for the Valley area. We do marine rescue, onshore, offshore, cold water, ice rescue. And then we do public education as well. We have two transporting ambulances again. Thank you very much. Just got the approval from the Board of Aldermen, and the replacement FD-10 was put into service a few weeks ago. So that's the red one up in the top right. So that unit is brandy new. Looking forward to a lot of years of good service and quality reliability with that unit. We also have a second ambulance that was purchased a couple years ago, again with city funds. We have a transporting all-terrain vehicle, an emergency fly car. We do the vehicle rescue services, like we said. We have the jaws of life. Each ambulance is equipped with those tools, as well as the rescue truck. We'll talk about those a little bit later. Those tools are getting very old and are in significant need of replacement. We do the technical rescue work, all high, low angle, rope rescue, anything rescue, we pretty much do it. Machinery, trench, confined space. you could see that the picture on the right, that is a trench rescue drill that we did a couple of years back. So we have very specialized teams, very specialized equipment that and training that we participate in. Hazardous materials, we do, like I said, we're the Valley Division of the New Haven Area Special Hazards Team. We've got a couple of vehicles, some equipment trailers that we run with that as well. The marine stuff, we have multiple rivers in Derby, bunch of reservoirs, ponds, everything like that. So we are sufficiently equipped to be able to respond to those types of emergencies. We did actually just get a grant last year for almost $10,000 to retrofit our boat, our larger boat that we have to upgrade some of the electronics on that. So we're working that as well beginning of this year. And then the public education. We always participate in the Derby Prom Night Demonstration where we do a vehicle extrication. We participate in the Home Depot and Lowe's Public Safety Days. Again, we do demonstrations for the public on vehicle extrication. All right, now we'll get into the meat and potatoes here. So just looking at our call volume. So we had, this goes back 11 years now. So we had traditionally about 2,500 calls that the ambulance goes out the door on. So that's every time an ambulance goes out the door for a call in Derby. So that includes any of our traditional EMS calls, anytime an ambulance has to go for a fire call, a vehicle extrication, vehicle accident, anytime an ambulance is dispatched. So that's that top blue line. You can see the trend. It's pretty level. We did see a couple of dips. We saw a dip when Marshall Lane Manor closed. We saw another dip when Derby Nursing closed. We actually saw a dip when COVID happened. A lot of people were staying home. Not as many people were calling the ambulance. But since that, the trend is back in the upward direction. So we are seeing considerably higher call volumes going up. This past year, we had an ambulance was dispatched 2,409 times in 2022 within the city of Derby. So the orange line toward the bottom, that's the number of billable calls that we've done over the last 10 years. So it hovers around that 1,300 call mark. We did 1,250 in 2022 and expecting that to rise. So the gap between the blue line and the orange line, so again, those are when we don't transport someone. So when our ambulance, when the storm ambulance does not transport someone. So it's your fire calls, it's your refusals, your calls where there really is no medical emergency, stuff like that. But it's also in the past few years, it's been a lot of mutual aid. We don't have an ambulance that's available to respond to a call. We've had a lot of issues with ambulance reliability. So that gap, you could see, in some areas it's bigger than others, but that's, that gap continues to be there. And over the past few years, that ambulance reliability has really been an issue for us. And that's why we pressed on it. And we talked about the unit that we just replaced. And we feel that that's going to position us in, going forward, where we're going to have reliable ambulances able to go out the door when we get called. So the almost 400 times that mutual aid came into Derby in 2022, we won't see that going forward. Our expectation is that our teams are going to be able to handle those calls. We're going to have an ambulance ready to go. We're going to have a second ambulance ready to go when we have those second calls. So we'll be able to catch that those calls and subsequently that revenue. All right, so I think just about everyone's seen this before. So, Derby's required to provide basic medical emergency medical services, basic emergency rescue services. The WPCA has to have a confined space rescue contract, so a company or an organization that is equipped and trained to respond to confined space emergencies. Anytime they do an entry, they have to notify our team to be able to stand by. The football games, we provide the medical standbys for those, as well as any medical transports for town employees. We do have an agreement with the town that we do provide treatment and transport at no cost to the town for anyone that's injured on the job. All right, so kind of an eye chart here, and I want to focus us towards the end here. So this is our 5-year, no, it's actually 6 years again now, analysis of our budget. So if we look at the far right-hand column, this is our budget for fiscal year. This is actually for calendar year 2023. Again, we've had the conversation in the past, and since we are keeping our budget request consistent with what we were awarded last year, it works out that our calendar year budget is equivalent to the fiscal year budget. So we can talk about it in either way. With the $150,000 allotment from the city, that we don't have that carryover question this year. So that's what we put into our budget planning for 2023. And going into, you know, that would roll over into the first half of 2024. So if we look at it on the revenue side, so again, having that $150,000 from the city of Derby, $150,000 from the city of Derby, the Medicare, Medicaid, our billing, so that those three lines there, those are our billing. The numbers in the Medicare for 2022, we're still reconciling that with the billing company. But if you look at the overall total, our expectation is that with the two good ambulances, with the solid, reliable staffing agency that we now have, that we signed a contract with the middle of last year, we will be able to, those 400 calls that we had to pass to mutual aid next year, if we pick up even half of those, the expectation is that we'll generate about $100,000 in additional revenue in 2023. So that's where you see there. We are working on a grant for new hearse tools that we talked about, they briefly talked about previously. So those jaws of life, those tools, right now our tools are about 20 years old. So they are definitely past the end of their service life. They're getting to the point where the company that services them no longer has the parts and no longer actually provides the service on them. So we are going to be replacing those tools this year. We're working with the Matthews Foundation on grants for those. And so we have that in our income line item there. On our expenses side, with the additional call volume, the additional billing and collections, we pay a percentage of that to our billing agency. So that number is going to go up. That's that $55,000. The staffing agency, like I said, we now have a very reliable staffing agency that we're proceeding with into the future. We did go out for a bid. They were in the lowest of the bids that we did get. There were several that were higher. So that's about a $400,000 a year cost for us to staff the ambulances. So the staffing agency provides the EMTs for us. They pay the EMTs. They are responsible for the workers' comp, the payroll taxes, all of that stuff. And we pay them a premium on top of, you know, basic wage to provide that service. So again, that's where that $400,000 comes in. Professional services, we have a professional bookkeeper, an accountant, our lawyers, all, you know, that we've been working with. We have a pay per call program that we do for the volunteer hours. So for the weekdays from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Are really the where we have volunteer only time blocks. So there's no staffing, no paid staffing on during those times. So in order to entice people to take calls during those periods, as well as any time that the ambulance is already out, that the ambulance is already out, we have that second ambulance. We have a paper call program. So our EMTs, they can get paid like $20 a call to respond and be able to provide the services for us for the city. Vehicle maintenance. The vehicle maintenance numbers, there were a few bills from last year that got carried over into 2023. So you'll see that number is not going down significantly with that new ambulance. Additionally, we have the second ambulance that we have is getting older. Yes, we did just purchase it a couple of years ago, but the shelf life of an ambulance is really, you know, 8 years is where it's supposed to be. You know, we've been stretching them to 10, 12, 15. The one that we just replaced, we had re-chassied it 11 years ago, but the box, the patient compartment box was about 25 years old. So the maintenance costs that we see, we're still going to see some maintenance costs because of that, the second ambulance again, but our rescue truck. Our rescue truck is a 1996. It is like any vehicle, especially an emergency vehicle. It's expensive. It's big. So we're going to continue to see some significant maintenance costs associated with that. I'm just trying to go through here and look at our utilities continue to go up. We've got our gas bills, electric, everything's skyrocketing this year. Communication services, you'll see that's gone up significantly in this number. We do have our communication systems. We work on donated secondhand radios. I think the last batch we got was from the city of New Haven when they replaced a bunch of radios a couple of years ago. So we have some old outdated portable radios that we're planning on purchasing a couple new ones this year. And those are, you know, they run anywhere from $2,500 to $4,000 a piece. Our office supplies, other is office supplies, equipment, and member benefits. That big increase there, that's more on the member benefits side. We're trying to do more to entice our members to come around and be available for those volunteer hours and volunteer calls. So putting on additional trainings, being able to provide refreshments for trainings, for meetings, those types of items, having our Christmas party and our summer picnic. So we've got some expenditures in there. Medical supplies, the cost on those just again keeps increasing, so we have a little bit of an increase in that one. Our rescue services, our annual equipment service. So that that number, the bill for last year's servicing actually got pushed over to this year. So the two services in that $3,500 number this year. So when we total that up, group of line items in the expenses category, Those are for what we call our essential services. Essential services are running the ambulances and being able to do the vehicle extrication work. All in all, that's what it costs us. That's what it's going to cost us to operate just those essential services in 2023. We have some additional items in here. So our divisional operating costs, our rescue equipment. We have a lot of equipment that needs replacing this year. In addition to those Hurst tools that are in that $70,000 capital expense line item, the $31,000, we have, like I said, we do rope rescue work, but we have a equipment that's aging. The lifespan or the life limit on a piece of rope is really supposed to be around 10 years, and most of our stuff is approaching that time. So we need to make some replacements there. And again, that stuff's not not cheap. So we've got about $25,000 to $30,000 worth of equipment that we need to start replacing this year. And the capital expenses, the majority of that, we've got about $60,000 for those new Hurst tools. Each of those tools, cutters, spreaders, they do just what they're described as. Each one of those is about $15,000 to $18,000. So we need a cutter, a spreader, some hydraulic rams for pushing things apart. So all in all of that equipment, we're switching over to a battery tool system, which has been proven in the industry. And with the batteries and all the chargers and all that, it's about $60,000 worth of equipment that we need to purchase. Again, about $45,000 of that should be covered by the grants that we're working on. So all in all, about a $750,000 budget for next year. We've had traditionally in the $500,000 range, $600,000 range over the past few years. But like we talked, we've put off these expenditures, and now it's time that we really have to do it at this point. We have to replace the rescue equipment, or we're not going to be able to provide the level of service that we are known for. We have to, the new staffing agency that we have, you could see the budget went up by $50,000 this year. So there's those major line items that we have to account for. And that's where that increase adds up to. Any questions on that? All right, the rest of the slides are most of the group, I believe, has seen this before, but for any of the new folks, when we talk about billing, so when our ambulance goes out the door, we can only bill for a call that we complete anytime we take a patient to the hospital. And when we do bill, we have to accept whatever payment methods the patients have. The city of Derby, the way the payer mix breaks down is about 80% of our calls are paid through Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare and Medicaid are fixed discounted payers. So when we charge a certain price, and I'll go into that on the next slide, they pay a much lower price than the state says we can charge. So when we look at discounted payer sources, so the chart here, the lines, if you look at it, when you total the Medicare, Medicaid averages for the state of Connecticut, it adds up to about 30% of a normal services calls, or normal agency or town's calls. About 30% are in that Medicare, Medicaid payer. Whereas, like I said, Derby, we are consistently at 80%. So pretty big discrepancy to the state average. And again, that the data comes from the Connecticut Office of Emergency Management. They do every year, they compile annual reports on the percentage of payer, the payer mix. So we'll go into the next slide here. And this will illustrate it a little bit better. So when we talk about that 80%, the state says that we are allowed to, in 2023, our rate, our state approved rate, I'm sorry, the state approved rate for a BLS transport from Storm Ambulance is $758. When we transport a patient that has Medicare, we write off $300 on every one of those calls. So the most we can charge them is $459, of which the federal government pays us 80%. So that's what about $350. So we get $350, and then the patient is responsible for the remaining 20%. So the other $100 of that 460. So that goes into a self-pay category, and self-payers are, we generally are able to collect on about 50%. It's either people have a hardship or they, it's tough to get the self-pay category is the toughest to collect money from, obviously. But Medicaid, similar situation. We send a bill out for $758, and the state of Connecticut pays us $320, and that's it. We cannot charge any more. We cannot go after ask the patient to pay any more. We cannot ask the state to pay any more. Our contract by accepting Medicaid says that that's all we're entitled to, even though the state says that we have to charge this $758 for everyone else. So if you look at it, the bar chart just kind of shows how much the difference is between the Medicare and Medicaid rate and our state approved billing rate. So the numbers on the left-hand side, the 452,000, that's in 2022 numbers. I wasn't able to put together the numbers for 23 in time, but it'll probably be on the order of $550,000 that we will not be able to collect. It'll be automatically written off in 2023. So again, it's a demographics issue. So we're never going to change that. We don't have the ability to change that. We're not like a doctor's office. We can't pre-negotiate with patients. We're an emergency service. We have to take what we can get, and we have to operate with it.
Right.
The charts here, just the top one, looking at our cash flow. This is 990 data. We don't have our 990. The lawyer is completing the 990 with the rapid speed right now. To prior to the filing date. For 2022, so we don't have the actual numbers, but we do expect, as you saw in the previous slides, there's a little bit of a we had a little bit of a surplus in 2022. Again, that there was a lot of bills that came in kind of right at the last minute that were not able to be accounted in 2022, those maintenance bills and such. So they'll be in the 2023 plan, but you will see, you'll see there's about a $40,000 revenue, we'll call it profit for 2022. So that blue bar kind of ticked up a little bit. You can see over the past 5 years, this is the first time it's gone above the zero line. So I guess you could say it's a positive note, but again, that it's kind of a misnomer to really see it that way. We were just about flat when you look at the overall plan. But you can see the bars, our billing revenues, and the city contribution. The red is our expenses, so staying above and on plan there. Again, the last few years we have shown a loss, and what that does is really when we look at the green bar or the green line, I'm sorry, the end of year cash, the EOY is end of year cash. So on the 990, it has what your level of cash is at the end of the year. So what we try to do is keep a very small reserve for the budget that we have. It's less than 10% of the budget. We had it up to $100,000 at one point. We had to we've obviously had to tap into that for operations, as you can see with the profit or the losses that we've taken over the past few years. But we try to keep that money aside for significant issues. If we did, if one of those Hearst tools did fail in prior years, when we didn't have it in the budget to replace, that again, that would have been the $18,000-$20,000 hit to that budget. If the rescue truck blows a transmission or blows a motor, we're talking anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000-$40,000 to replace that and get that apparatus back in running condition. So we do try to keep that reserve. Right now, that reserve sits at about $45,000. I'm trying to build that back up to at least 60 to 80 so that we have that small reserve to be able to operate. Additionally, our billing services are billing those fixed payers that we talked about, the federal government and state of Connecticut. There are certain months where they are very lax in paying. That there's a couple of times during the year where monthly we'll get somewhere between 30 and 50% of what we get on an average month in that month. So when we see that significant dip in income, we have that cash to back that up. The bottom chart, just an illustration of collections versus our billables. And you can see the reds are our write-off. We write off more than 50% every year. And that again goes back to that payer mix. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the support that we've gotten. FD10's replacement, again, thank you very much. The city was able to fund that the new ambulance through the ARPA funding, and it was approved through the Board of Aldermen. So again, thank you for that. The fuel for our vehicles, the city continues to pay for the fuel for the vehicles, as well as the insurance. The dispatch services, we are combined with the fire department. But there is a cost that the city pays for that for Northwest CMed. The workman's compensation, the workman's comp insurance that we have is only for our volunteers. It is only required for our members when they are volunteering. So any of those paid shifts, the staffing agency, they cover the workers' comp for those people during those hours. Capital purchases going forward, we know we have plans. We talked about that second ambulance, how it's starting to age. It's been the the workhorse for the past 2 years now. It needs to get on a replacement cycle. So that spare ambulance, we need to get that back in the plan for capital. The rescue truck, like we talked about, going on 27 years old, 25 years is really stretching it for these large apparatus, especially in Connecticut with the salt, and especially the liquid salt that the state uses. It's very corrosive to our equipment. So that apparatus is really needs to get back on that schedule for replacement. And then we talked about miscellaneous equipment, the Hurst tools, the Jaws of Life that we talked about that we're replacing now, because that squad truck, the rescue truck replacement, because that's been pushed out, that was supposed to come in with these new tools. So now we have to, you know, we're trying to find that that grant, that alternate funding source for us to be able to purchase those. So just some notes. Again, you know, some thank yous, some acknowledgement. Again, the notes here, you know, we talked about it, the cost of readiness. We have to have an ambulance ready to go out the door regardless. You know, if we're standing by waiting for a call, you know, you could see 2,400 times a year an ambulance goes out for something within the city of Derby. 1,200 times last year, we transported someone. The expectation is that number is going to be 1,500 times in 2023 for the storm ambulance transporting a patient to a hospital. But in those times where there isn't a call going on, we need to be ready. We need to be available. We need to have the resources and the personnel ready to go when that comes. You know, we talked about Medicare, Medicaid, the discounted payers. They account for 80% of our global calls. It's just a fact. It's what we've dealt with. The private payer, you know, that it's a very small percentage. It's about 5% of our calls. But again, that's, you know, that they're very difficult to get the they have enough hardships that that they're not able to pay in a vast majority of the cases, the situation. So, you know, the collection rates are about 50% on the private self-pay. And then you've got the private insurance, all these high deductible health plans, that they are, until you hit your deductible, you're paying out of pocket. So it's more putting more people into that self-payer category, which again puts strain on the system. That being said, historically, our billing company has been great at getting, you know, working out payment plans, et cetera, with people. And we have a collection rate in the 95 to 98%. You know, obviously we have the contractual write-offs with the insurance companies, with the Medicare, Medicaid, that we have to take those discounts. We have to write those off. But for the money that we can collect, we do have a very high collection rate. So it's a very positive, very good, our billing agency does a very good job with that. We talked about the requirements of the city, you know, overall billing revenue, really, because of that paramix, it can't really increase. You know, the only increase that we're seeing is having the reliability, the ambulances being reliable. Our staffing agency, we had some problems with it in the beginning of last year. So now that we have the new one, reliable, we're going forward in a very good place. And we feel that we're in a very good place from an organizational standpoint. The maintenance costs, the second ambulance is going to start increasing. The rescue truck maintenance costs are going to continue increasing. The new ambulance is going to take a significant burden off of us with not being with the replacement for the old FD-10. So kind of going to be it'll be a positive for probably a couple of years. But if we don't plan now for that second ambulance and the rescue truck, we could have some significant costs going into the future. The cross-control measures. So 2 years ago, we took the old FD-9 out of service, a little over 2 years ago. It wasn't financially viable. Now we took the old FD-10 out of service last year. It wasn't financially viable. And we were able to get the support of the Board of Aldermen to be able to purchase that new ambulance. So again, you know, I've said thank you a million times. I'm going to continue to say it. We have our financial oversight committee. We've got some new blood on that this year. So we are working on some additional measures to save some money, and where we can generate additional. We did actually, and I don't have it in here, but we started a fundraising committee recently. So that team is working on putting together some fundraisers for us going into the future. We have our CPA, our accountant, you know, we continue to work with them. We have a professional bookkeeper, like we talked about. We've been running electronic run forms for a while. Our computer systems, they were upgraded. They're starting to get older now. So in the coming years, we're going to have a replacement plan put together for those. Some of the other stuff that we've done, like we talked about, you know, we've been under extreme austerity measures for the last 10 years. You know, we haven't had any member benefits. We eliminated cost outside training, deferred these major equipment purchases. We can't do it anymore. So, yeah, that the amount that we're asking for from the city is going to allow us to be able to throw a party for our members. In the past 10 years, I haven't been able to give any of my members even a t-shirt as a thank you. So putting those member benefits back in, getting the training back in, the equipment. The Storms used to be the premier rescue agency in the Valley, the state, the country. You know, people knew us. And we had, you know, you saw on the first slide, we have over 100 members. We drew people from diverse backgrounds, diverse areas. We had always had people at the firehouse, always had people training, but we've lost that a little bit without being able to provide some of the higher quality or higher education for our members, having some of the, you know, some of the latest and greatest equipment. We've lost that, and we want to bring that back. So it's a member retention issue. It's a quality of service issue. So there's some major risks if we can't start doing that again. The service costs that we have, we did do the staffing service this year. Unfortunately, every agency, that including the one that we were using previously, increased their rates significantly in the state of Connecticut, and probably outside the state of Connecticut, that there's a major shortage of EMTs. So every service is fighting to entice people to come and work for them. You know, the positive that we have is, you know, that we're based on a volunteer service. So we have a lot of members that are vested in the community, vested in the service. And because we have contracted with an outside agency, they are able to get hired by the agency and come and work for us, probably at a lower rate that they can get working for an AMR or something like that. So like it's the agencies, the cost, the rate, the hourly rate for EMTs has gone up significantly, and that showed in the RFQ. So we got that handled middle of last year. Our medical gas provider, Oxygen, is considered a medical gas. Right now, we're negotiating with the city of Ansonia to see if they will allow us to fill our oxygen tanks at their facility. to be able to fill oxygen tanks, you have to have a licensed fill station. It is considered a medical gas. We do not have that capability. We've been using a provider. We do a bottle swap with them. So we have the cylinders. They bring us full cylinders, take our empty ones, and we swap those out. So we have to rent the cylinders from them, plus pay for the pay for the oxygen every time they swap those out. So working again, like I said, with the city of Ansonia on an opportunity, you know, we'll have to purchase, we'll have to expend, you know, the capital money to purchase these oxygen tanks, on the tune of about $90 a piece. We need probably about 30 of them to be able to sustain our service. So, you know, decent upfront cost, but what the, you know, we're trying to work out, like I said, with Ansonia on being able to fill them with their facilities or at their facilities. All right, so last slide here, just, you know, looking for the 150,000. It is a zero increase from the last fiscal year allocation. We did have the 125 plus the 25 in the special fund balance. For us, you know, looking for that city partnership into the future, like we talked about, second ambulance, the rescue truck. So everything's got to be collaborative. And you know, I think, you know, we're on a much better footing with the support that we've gotten recently from the city. We hope that continues. We look forward to another year of providing the highest quality service we can to the city and citizens of Derby.
Thank you, Dan. Dan, quick question.
Yes.
The 125 last year.
The reserve fund, you said? My understanding is that it was put into a, I think the term was special fund balance.
What was that for?
So we had asked for, I think we had asked for 200,000, and the approval came down. It was originally 150, and then they took 25 away from the full allocation and put it aside for a, hey, if you need this, come back to us and
we'll
give it to you.
All right, I remember that. So with the 380 for the new 50,000
$450,000
$450,000
pretty good
maintaining support
for the EMS sir. Thank you for this
presentation.
I don't know why there's an
Mayor, your phone. If you have two devices open.
My phone is off.
Yeah. Before I go off here, I'll put it out there to the tax board, to members of the Board of Aldermen. You know, anyone. In the official capacity that would like to come down and tour our facilities, see the equipment, see what we have, see what we do, you know, in person. We're at 151 Olivia Street. There's generally people there. You know, like we said, the paid crews are there all the time now, or most of the time. They can definitely walk you through. But you know, if you reach out to one of the chiefs, you can, you know, or stop in if one of them are there. They'll be happy to walk you through anything you'd like to see. Anything at 151 Olivia Street, taking a look at 10 Hawkins Street, you know, just to see what we have and what we provide to the city. I encourage and, you know, implore you to take the opportunity to come and see that and what we can provide for us or for the city.
Thank you, Daniel. Anybody
have any questions? Dan, I have. I got an email saying that you were asking for 300,000. So you're not asking for 300, it's 150?
That's correct. The original request that we had was for the 300,000. When we recalibrated the revenue side of our expectations for the new year, with the, well, it was really once we got the new ambulance that we were able to recalculate what our expectations is for revenue generation through billables. So we were able to bring that down from 300 to 150.
Okay.
It's awesome. Anybody else, any questions? No, the services are phenomenal, man. Let me tell you, you guys took care of my parents in 07 and 2013. I'm still indebted to you guys. You guys did, so. Any other questions for the board members? Continue.
I have a question, but not for them. It's just an overall on the budget.
I'm waiting. Anything else for Storms while we still have them here? We can let them go.
No, thank you very much, Daniel, for your presentation. It was very well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, you have a. I did send you a copy of it prior to the meeting.
So yes, sir.
If you would like to distribute that to the board, you're welcome to.
Thank you. I think Mark already did. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. So we're not doing discussion, adoption. What I'd like to, Mark, if you could please get a survey from the board members to find out when we're going to be able to get a full quorum here. Time is at an essence now. I'm hoping Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Because if it doesn't happen, I'm afraid to see what the state is going to do, or if I have to go up to the state and get something done so we can get a budget approved. So we need you to reach out to all the members and find out exactly what days they are available so we can get the preliminary budget discussion and adoption. Any other questions from the board?
Have a question on special working balance. What does that include? What do we have in that special working balance?
Right now we're not doing a discussion or adoption of preliminary budget, and I don't have that in front of me right now. And Walt's
Nancy,
off.
Does Nancy or Walt have an idea?
Walt's off right now, and I don't see Nancy on here.
I am here, and Jennifer, you're more than welcome to come to the office and go over that with me.
Okay, but
that was not a question on the agenda, so I'm not prepared to answer you right now. You are more than welcome to sit with me in the office, and I'll go over it with you, or we can turn around and talk on the phone.
So the rest of the board can't hear it. All right.
Well, Jen, if you get the questions out so everybody knows what you need instead of just putting it.
I was told that there was four questions or five questions you had. I never got an email asking the questions. I would have been prepared for that had you given me the questions.
Well, had I gotten this earlier, then I could have, but I worked during the day. So by the time you sent this to me, and I saw the working balance, it was too late to send you the question.
Jennifer, the working balance in the current budget, are you asking about this budget or last year's budget?
This budget.
That was already sent out with details on the original email that was sent out, but I will be more than glad to go over that with you and detail everybody on the board on what's in that. It is contingencies for raises that are in contracts that are in negotiation at the current point, capital projects that have not been approved by the state or LOSIP. There are several things in there that we put aside. Right. We put aside the money so that when these things get approved by the alderman of the state, that we have the funds available. If you'd like to go over that with me in person, I will be more than glad to, and we'll copy everybody on the board on that as well.
All right. Any other questions? All right, hearing none. I said thank you so much for
Mr. Mayor, you
coming to your
over
first meeting. This is awesome.
Mr. Mayor,
Thank you.
Yes, Louise. You
skipped over the public portion. Are you eliminating that from the meeting?
public
portion. Because we don't have a quorum, but if anybody wants to speak, corporate counsel here. If they can speak on, I don't know if they can speak on the Storms Ambulance presentation. That was just them. I'm going to skip over that. If it's found not correct, we will adjust. We'll correct that at the next meeting. And other than that, we're going to do an adjournment. So thank you, everyone, for showing up. Mark, please get a consensus on who's going to show up for the next meeting. And hopefully we're all here. We can do a preliminary budget and an adoption. So y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
7:20 p.m.